Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Windsor Knot episode 9. My name is Joe Screbbles. I'm joined by Daniel Krupa.
Hello, Joe.
I sped up really quickly to make you get excited.
I'm very excited.
I was talking to the listener, but you as well. This episode, we're going to concentrate on families.
Families are very important.
Always got our theme this week. It's families.
We're not going to lie. Sometimes the theme is loose.
Oh, yeah, of course it's loose.
But always focused.
Hey, I'm just going to get it out of the way up top. We got a really nice write-up on the AV Club this week. It was wicked, and they even described it as loose themes. They're loose themes. Everyone accepts it.
You know what? We set out on this road with idealistic ambitions of tight themes. It can't be done.
So you say that. We didn't. Originally, we were going to go... Our idea was just to read out the week's news. And then we started going, that's insane. What would we possibly do?
So I don't know if anyone else picked on this. We've imposed this weird conceit on ourselves that every episode has to have a one-word title.
Which makes no sense when the one-word title is international.
Mate, like, updates is... Oh, anyway.
Updates was great. I thought that was a wicked
episode. It's a good
episode,
but like, I don't know why we've imposed that rule upon ourselves. Yeah, but we are stylish.
But we're talking about families.
We're
and
the
specifically.
Cummings of podcasts.
We've got no punctuation whatsoever. Wait, did he have punctuation?
He did what he wants.
I like that occasionally we dip into literary stuff and then go, oh, I don't know enough about that to talk about that. Probably shouldn't have brought it up. You do, it's fine. Right. Families, and more specifically what we're talking about are the families of Meghan and Harry. But I think probably focusing a bit more on Meghan this week.
Yeah, a bit both.
And their involvement in the wedding. It'll make sense once we start talking about it.
I've also got a little secret family thing up my sleeve as well.
Have you? Yeah. I'm quite excited about that. But the big story this week is that Meghan Markle has invited her reclusive dad to the royal wedding. And he will beat his shyness to walk her down the aisle, according to The Sun.
Her shyness?
His shyness, sorry. Okay. Oh, her highness, his shyness. Yeah. Uh-huh. That works out. There were rumours that 73-year-old Thomas Markle Sr. would be blanked after Meghan decided against asking half-brother Thomas Jr. and half-sister Samantha. So, to explain the sort of
backstory,
what's going on here,
okay.
Thomas Markle Sr. had a wife... prior to Doria Ragland, who is Meghan's mother. Mm-hmm. And he had two children, Thomas Jr. and Samantha. Then he married Doria, had Meghan, and then divorced Doria after that. So, Thomas Jr. and Samantha are quite a bit older than Meghan, and they have not been invited to the wedding, because I don't think they know each other all that well.
Yeah.
Although we'll get onto this later.
Yep.
They do talk a lot about her. In a way that I'm not super impressed by. But Thomas Markle, there was all this talk about how he was not going to be coming to the wedding, he wasn't going to be invited because they weren't, which doesn't really make sense.
No, because those are different relationships.
Yes. I think part of a big reason for this is there is a video of Meghan when she's 18 years old, driving around LA with her friend, and she says, I don't have a super close relationship with my dad. She's 18 at the time. She's, what, 36 now?
Yeah.
Quite literally double the age.
Things change.
Yeah. I think it's kind of, you know, that's not really evidence to go by. Anyway, so there were rumours that Thomas Markle Sr. was going to be blanked, which is a bad word when it comes to a royal wedding. No one gets blanked. But a family friend told The Sun on Sunday, Thomas Sr. is overjoyed to be beside his little girl on the day she becomes a princess. Technically a duchess, but that's fine. Even if he has to battle his demons to get there.
What?
He's not exactly thrilled at facing the world's glare. Which I reckon is a little joke about him being a lighting director when he had his job as a lighting director.
Is he worried about walking with people watching him?
Well, so he apparently has a limp, but...
That's not why I brought it up.
Oh, okay.
The reason I bring this up is, like, the other day, you and I and our friend Simon went bowling.
Yes.
And midway through bowling, I forgot how to do bowling.
Same.
I got super self-conscious about, like, the run-up.
Me and you.
And there's one time I did it where I literally just landed on my face because I wasn't focusing on bowling. I was focusing on walking.
And unfortunately, what you're doing is focusing on walking whilst you have a 5-pound weight in your
hands.
Thing
that is massively imbalancing me. Yeah. This is one ball, and I knew it was going to happen. I was so conscious of the thing that I do every day. I nearly basically upended myself.
Amazingly, we both had exactly... I don't think Simon felt this because he's a relatively stable person.
Yeah.
Me and you independently both had that thought and talked about it afterwards, like, did you have that minute where you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing?
Because this weird thing, because obviously there's a moment of tension coming up where you release the ball, where I know everyone around me is watching me walk. And there was one point where I was like, I've forgotten how to do this.
Mm.
And maybe that's what he's suffering.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but we'll get onto that.
Okay.
Also, he does apparently have a limp, which he suffered after a leg injury 2 years ago. But I don't think that's it either. We'll carry on. We'll get onto my point. He's not exactly thrilled at facing the world's glare. He lives... This is apparently all according to a family friend, unnamed, obviously. He lives a reclusive life in Mexico. But nothing will stop him from having Meghan on his arm for the big day. Mum, Doria Ragland, who divorced Thomas when Meghan was 6, is also invited. Thomas Jr. missed out and blamed a drunken bust-up with his fiancée. They tactfully miss out the point that Thomas Jr., after his drunken bust-up with his fiancée, pointed a gun at her. But, you know, we'll talk about that another time.
Just admitting that, are we?
Samantha will be in Windsor for the May 19th wedding to Prince Harry, but as a guest of a TV channel. Thomas Jr. and Samantha.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Now, my point here is, obviously her dad is going to be there. Like, it would be crazy if he was, unless he was actually
estranged.
A terrible person or estranged. He's there. He's met Harry. Him and Harry get on, apparently. They've met once or twice.
Yeah.
What I want to point out is this idea that he's a recluse and that he's got crippling shyness, to quote a few people, appears to be completely made up and is a thing that's been made up for a while and has sort of snowballed out of all control. Someone once said, I think, like, I've looked at a load of stories about him to find this out. Super early on, a tabloid said he lives a secluded life in Mexico, which is true. But it's turned into him having crippling shyness and, like, social anxiety because all of these reports don't do any fucking research. They just look at everyone else's stories and go, oh, I've heard that.
It's become a...
And then you use tabloidy language to blow it up, blow it up, blow it up. And now it's just a lie? So...
He just loves Mexico.
Now, let me give you a reason for why this might have happened. According to the Daily Mail, this is one of their headlines. So, why is Meghan's dad determined to hide from the world how Thomas Markle, 73, has changed his phone number and concealed his address to avoid being traced? The Daily Mail, weeks before this story, had gone to his house and taken pictures of him without his knowledge in front of his own house. Like, this is why he's changing things. He's hiding from you, you fucking idiots. You absolute bastards. It's so annoying. What do we know for sure? I've decided I'm going to look up some things that are actually true about Thomas Markle, and we can all talk about them instead of making his life weird.
You're going against the grain.
In 1990, he won the lottery. He won
These are true things.
He won $750,000.
Fuck off.
In the 1990 lottery, which apparently paid for a lot of Meghan Markle's education, which led to her becoming an actress, and he's incredibly proud of her.
Go on the lottery.
I've adjusted for inflation. $1,428,000. Oh, $793.04.
That's amazing.
In today's dollars. Wicked, right? He lives in a, and I quote, a little yellow house perched high on a 120-foot cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean, which I think is cool.
It's a very quaint description.
I should point out, this move to Mexico is not because he was hiding from the world's eye. He retired and wanted to move somewhere that was cheaper.
It's like someone in Britain moving to Spain.
Yeah, he just went, I want to live somewhere cheaper. Why wouldn't I live in a little yellow house on a cliff? That sounds cool as hell.
That sounds wicked.
Exactly. I will also say that he seems like a good lad. Because this is according to Meghan. When she was in seventh grade, she was asked to do a mandatory census. And her English teacher told her to check the ethnicity box for Caucasian. Because you could choose between African-American or Caucasian in her case. Which confused her. And she says that when her father, when she told her father, he said, if that happens again, you draw your own box.
Yeah, this is not a mixed race box.
No. Cool as hell. What a wicked response.
That's good.
What a lad.
He's literally thinking outside the box so much you draw another box.
Yeah. And the biggest point I have to make here that we can know for sure is he's not a fucking recluse. He is literally filmed by people who have sent the video to the Sun, who are the people saying that he's got crippling shyness, talking about the wedding in public.
He's fine.
Perfectly openly. He said, I think it's wonderful. I'm very delighted. I think they're a very good match. I'm very happy for them, Meghan and Harry. I love my daughter very much, and Harry's a gentleman. Granted, he did finish this up by saying, now leave me alone, please. Don't bother me anymore. No more flashing cameras in my eyes, or I'll flash back, and drove off.
That's fair enough.
And I basically think Thomas Markle Sr. sounds wicked, and stop bothering him, and stop saying that he's got, like, some problem that you need to solve. He's just not a man.
He's just not attention hungry.
He's a 73-year-old man who lives on a cliff. He's wicked, and you wish you were him.
And you wish you had that little yellow house.
Exactly.
So this is a related story, but with a slightly different tenor. This is about two other guests on Meghan's side of the family. So 600 guests are expected to attend on the day.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you can't invite everyone. This is a problem that I think everyone who's getting married faces.
Yeah.
We talked about this before. Whose day do? Whose evening do?
Precisely.
Who do you invite? How do you negotiate that? How do you navigate that? It's just a minefield. And there's two people who didn't make the list, and they've been very vocal about it in the last week. This is Tracy Dooley. This is Meghan's former sister-in-law.
Well, explain how.
So I assume this is the sister of Meghan's ex-husband.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
And,
yeah.
And her nephew, Tyler Dooley.
And her nephew?
The Dooleys, yeah.
So is it her ex-nephew?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, which seems a weird phrase.
Yeah.
So it's the son of this person, Dooley.
Just want to put it out there. Why would you invite them?
Which is the pretense of this story. It's like this person who's attending the wedding via a TV company.
Mm.
It's people coming out of the woodwork.
And like,
and that, wanting to profit off
that
it.
Person who's attending the wedding through a TV company, that's her half-sister. Like, that's... I don't think she has much contact with her. And apart from anything else, from what I can tell, and I'm not going to delve into this because I haven't done enough research, Samantha and Thomas Jr., her half-siblings, have both talked a lot about her without her permission. So it's a bit odd.
It's weird, like,
and maybe they've got that relationship, but it's fine.
If anyone knows you super well, they're just not doing that.
You would think
they're
not.
Just not. Anyway, so to get back, so these people appeared on Good Morning Britain, mm-hmm. which is, as you probably, if you're an international listener, sounds like Good Morning America. It's quite a recent affectation for the show. Mm. It used to be, when I was growing up, it's called GMTV.
I love GMTV. Good Morning
Television. It wasn't as stylized. So they appeared on the show via satellite, and they were interviewed by British presenters Susanna Reid and Richard Madeley. I think I've mainly put this story in because of my love of Richard Madeley.
Richard Madeley's one of the most endlessly fascinating people on British TV.
So I know we have an international listenership, and to like, it's hard to explain Richard Madeley in a way that doesn't involve a comparison to another very other British thing.
Which Alan Partridge.
He is the real life Alan Partridge. And to unpack that slightly, it's just, it's the worst kind of mainstream daytime broadcaster who...
He's the uncoolest man to look quite cool.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, Richard Madeley is an attractive middle-aged man who has one of the worst in like conversational manners of anyone
and
I've ever seen.
He walks this fine line between obscenely banal and obscene.
And manages to do so, unnervingly perfectly.
But in this story, I think he comes off brilliantly.
I think he's wicked in this.
Obsessed with Richard and Judy when I was a student. I used to watch it every day. And it's just like a fascinating show because it was kind of car crash TV.
Yeah.
So Richard and Judy, they're a married couple and they used to host a lot of TV in Britain, especially during daytime. And they had an evening, like 5 o'clock show, 5 to 6, I think, on Channel 4. I used to watch it all the time when I was a student.
This is a very old story and one that I think I've cribbed from maybe the old Russell Brand radio show, but they told this thing that's really stuck in my head, which was there was some like something about babies dreaming, some study about what a baby's dream would be.
Okay.
And Richard Madeley just goes, you know, I think if someone could invent a sort of TV screen that showed you what a baby's dream was, I'd like to be a millionaire. It's like, out of nowhere, he's just said the maddest thing you could
again,
say.
Again, I would encourage, and that's why I've put this on story on, if you don't know who Richard Madeley is, I encourage you to find, there's several Twitter accounts you could follow that just quote stuff he said on British TV out of context. And it is immensely delightful. It will keep you repaid in happiness for the rest of your
life. I'm sure there are YouTube compilations that blow your mind.
There's a documentary he did a few years ago. He's not on TV as much as he used to be. He does a lot of radio. And there's a documentary he did like a year ago about homeless people.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is super cool. It's insane. Anyway, so go back to Good Morning Britain. Tyler, who is her nephew, former nephew-in-law, however you want to phrase it. It's such a tangential relationship. There's not even a proper way of terming it.
Yeah.
We've been here from the beginning. Were you not? Because she married into... your relation.
Also, presumably, if he's her nephew, he was born... Usually that's he was born after.
Maybe there's more here that I don't quite... This phrase is... We've been here from the beginning, her whole life. Well, presumably you're younger than... Maybe I'm wrong.
I know. Well, you can have a nephew who's younger, who's just, older than you and all that kind of stuff.
Just always rooting her on and supporting her. His mum, Tracy, who was previously married... Oh, sorry. It's not through Meghan's relationship. She was married to Meghan's brother. I will correct that.
She was married to Meghan's... Okay.
So it's an in-law on the other way. So it's not Meghan's marriage. That's my bad.
Hands up. We can make mistakes.
Tracy said, I don't think we are going to get invitations. Yeah, they've already gone out.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
We didn't bloody get that's one.
That's a very passive... And that's fine.
I don't even care about
We're
it.
Okay with that.
I've got plans.
We're still supporting her on. We're so proud of her. And this point is where Richard Madeley, who obviously just like, if you have any awareness of Richard Madeley, he doesn't care what other people think.
He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a flying fuck.
For some reason, he can't be fired anymore. I don't know when that happened.
There's actually a thing like, I don't know if it's late 90s, like, this thing where he's like, he was caught shoplifting.
Yeah.
Didn't affect his career, really.
I don't understand.
At that point, Richard decided to investigate why the pair were not asked to join the royal couple on the big day. This is a brilliantly journalistic question. It's very simple. He goes, when did you last see her? Tyler then confessed he hadn't actually spoken to his auntie since she announced her engagement, saying, oh, I talked to her. But that's not even just the engagement. I talked to her probably 3 years ago.
That's well before the engagement.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the same interview, Tracy admitted she hadn't seen Meghan for 20 years.
20?
And this is where Richard Madeley, regardless of what you think of him,
Meghan was literally a teenager.
He's cut to the chase here, Richard. He just goes, well, it doesn't seem unreasonable that you're not invited, does it? I mean, it's 20 years. You're pretty much on the fringes, aren't you, of the family, to be honest.
So wait, have you seen this clip? Have you watched it?
Yeah.
So do they genuinely seem passive-aggressive? Do they seem annoyed by the fact that they've not been invited? Because his response... Because there's two different ways of seeing that. Because if they're
I think they've appeared knowing kind of what they're doing. They're on TV. I don't think they expect him to say that.
Well, that's it.
I think they expect him to be like, oh, it's unbelievable she's not invited you.
Do you reckon?
I don't think they're prepared for it, because they do seem taken aback a bit.
Right, so that's what I was going to get onto. I don't know how they responded, but like, if they were going, it's fine, we don't really care, she's our mate, and then he says that.
It's called Good Morning Britain. I think it's going to be very polite.
Yeah, that's true.
And he just goes, mate, you're on the fringes 20 years.
the fringes.
They take a little bit of offence, and she kind of like stumbles away along, and she goes, oh, the arrangements are being made, I think. Yeah, they are.
They've been made.
You not listen to this? Elderflower and Lemon. It's been decided.
I think guests are getting decided before fucking floral weird cakes.
I don't think he's waiting for an invitation, because I'm sure they already have plans in place. From me talking to him, he's very excited to be a part of it. That's talking about Megan's dad, because he's going to be there. But yeah, I think that's kind of symptomatic of it. There are a lot of people who want to be a part of it that aren't actually a part of it. And this is a weird thing where... it's a weird scaled-up version and a weird, like, media augmented version of a thing that I think a lot of people have to navigate with their weddings. Where, like,
absolutely.
Who do you invite? Who don't you invite? You were in a wedding last weekend.
Yeah.
It's like,
and there were weird things there we were talking about.
Weird politics of, like, who do you not invite? Because the way families are, you can be part of family and not be close. And it's okay to go, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're blood relations, but we don't have much in common and we don't really know each other. And that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It's weird that some people do take personal offence of that, which I don't really get, because I'm not that kind of person. And I think the weird thing to put into this mix is, like, if you don't get invited to one of these weddings in your life, but you can speak to someone else for money... is the weird
that's never going to happen.
but that's the weird dynamic that exists now for this sort of stuff. Mm. Like, I'm presuming they get paid for this appearance.
Well, I mean, her half-sister's going with a TV channel. I'm sure she's doing all right.
Joe, would you like to know about another guest that is at the wedding?
I mean, I think I already know, because overtaking the racist letter, this is the most requested story we've ever had. All day this has been coming in.
Again, like, it's a really weird thing. Joe and I, like, our actual jobs are nothing related to this.
Absolutely not.
But every week now, we get tweets seeing us in crazy stories.
Yeah.
I was actually good that you saw this story, but...
I'd seen it before we'd even been recommended it. Like, so, I woke up this morning looking for stories because I'd not prepared well enough, and looked at it and was like, I'll be reading that out, whatever theme we have tonight.
Some of you won't know what this is.
Okay. It's unbelievable.
Here's another guest. Princess Diana.
Excuse me?
Will be there. This is in quotes, sorry. Will be there at Prince Harry's royal wedding as a ghost. Say psychics.
They've missed out a big part of this. They're psychic twins. What? They're psychic twins.
Psychics believe... there's plural. Psychics believe the late mother of the groom will put in an appearance when her son marries Meghan Markle. This is in the Star, by the way, Daily Star.
Of course.
Princess Harry and Meghan Markle can expect a visit from the late Princess Diana when they marry on May 19th, according to psychics. Those are two paragraphs that say the same fucking thing.
Except the second one says it in a much scarier way, which is, can expect a visit.
Like, expect a visit, yeah.
That's not during the wedding, that's... later. That's
who's getting
through
them to
the wall.
Roy Stan first? Jesus Christ.
She's popping out of the cake.
The mother of the groom wouldn't miss the rest. Right, sorry. The mother of the groom wouldn't miss the royal wedding for the world. Psychic twins Terry and Linda Jameson?
I'm going to say Jameson.
Have announced the Daily Star. Both siblings claim they have the power to deliver messages by ghosts, who take control of their hands and scroll comments down for them to deliver. Through Terry and Linda. I love they've got really banal British names.
Yeah, and also Terry's spelt... I think they might be Australian, but I might be wrong.
Are they two women? Or cause Terry's spelt like a man's name.
So, exactly. But I've seen pictures of them. They're two women, which I really like. Terry being spelt like a man's name.
I always think Terry Nutkins.
Yeah, bit of Nutkins going on. Look him up.
That's
if you're
British.
Not from Britain. We've got... it's really hard. Like, it's increasingly difficult realising that people from outside Britain listen to this podcast, because you go,
how do you explain Terry Nutkins?
You suddenly realise how unbelievably localised your references are.
You did a tweet today that...
Mate, I'm going to read the tweet out. Listen to this. Because to me, this sounds totally sensical.
There's one word I thought, oh, maybe I can see that. But then...
Yeah. Here we are. Basically, I went to a deli today for the first time. And I bought
Peter's.
And
you
it
went
was,
to Peter's for a lunch.
I did,
sandwich.
And it was shite.
Was it? Their bacon sandwiches are very nice.
They are. But what happened was, I bought a BAP with chicken and mayo on it, which I think, honestly, one of the best sandwich fillings you can have. Apparently, people don't know what that is. I said, don't get weird about this, but if you put margarine on a BAP that is about to have chicken mayo in it, you should be put to death. Which I firmly stand behind. Margarine in something with mayo in it creates a weird film in your mouth. You can't taste the margarine anymore. Sorry, you can't taste the mayo anymore. You just get margarine for the rest of it. It's bollocks. One of our American colleagues...
One of our lovely American colleagues, Terry, replied...
Replied and said, this sounds like another language to me. Which, in retrospect, margarine, bit of a weird one, but I think they call it margarine. I've heard margarine. Yeah. Maybe it's just like...
No, they pronounce it margarine.
Oh, margarine, like arugula.
Like herbs.
Like herbs. Like, and spiquez.
We say leisure, they say lajurae.
Yeah, and they say allium iron. we've just hemorrhaged listeners. But how do we get onto that? Anyway, localised references. Don't eat chicken mayo with margarine. That's the rest. Carry on with Diana.
When we're like dabbling with this stuff. Okay. Through Terry and Linda, they said... Diana told them, I will most definitely be present for Harry and Meghan's wedding. I was also there for William and Kate's wedding.
I will almost definitely be... I've got a few things on.
I will be beautiful. It will be beautiful, like my own ceremony, with a horse and carriage. Ghost Diana, hyphenated, continued.
So the horse and carriage thing keeps coming up, and I've not seen any official reference that they will be in a horse and carriage.
I am around them all more. Then they realise.
Ooh.
Grammatically, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's expected that Harry and Meghan will pay tribute to... Oh, God. This is so horribly written. It's expected... This goes back to the Star article. It's expected that Harry and Meghan will pay tribute to his dead mum.
What?
Weird phrase. To his dead mum, who died in a car crash in Paris night. Who's written this? In a number of small ways at the wedding. So, it's... Which is fitting. I think a lot of people would do that, have little tokens and little signifiers.
Of course you
to
would.
Remember people who you would want to be on there on the day. So they go on, and there's a lot of filler in this article. But, Terry and Linda, you've done well to get in the Daily Star and get yourself a bit of press.
They've gone far beyond the Daily Star. They've been all over the place. Have you read what they've done before?
No.
They predicted 9/11.
4 days
Except
later.
They predicted it in 2002. So they were a year off. They've done some pretty big stuff. They've been around on the scene for a long time, writing Terry down ghost messages. They can channel Michael Jackson.
Let me just search Terry and Linda, because several years ago, they're not from Haunted Happenings, are they?
Oh, I don't know.
So several years ago, through a work thing, I actually conducted a seance.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about this.
Under the Trocadero in London. Now, if you don't know what the Trocadero...
That's the least sexy place in the world. The Trocadero.
It is haunted, but in a very different way.
Oh, Linda and Terry Jameson are American identical twins based in Los Angeles, California.
That's not what I was thinking.
Who perform as psychics. The Jamesons' predictions have been featured in tabloid newspapers, and they've appeared in various media. They claim to have channeled the spirits of dead celebrities and predicted future events, such as the September the 11th attacks. However, critics question the accuracy of their predictions. Weird. Who do they remind me of? They look like someone. Also, apparently they're 53. They look very good for 53.
Yeah, they look brilliant.
Yeah. That's the spirit realm for you.
Spectral cheeky girls.
The career... Oh, wait, should we look into their background? Oh, there's not much here. They worked as painters. Oh, that's weird. They worked as performance artists. Oh, strange.
Like, just to go back to when I did Haunting Happenings. It reminds me of this. I didn't realise they were American, but like... Terry and Linda sound like very British names.
They do, very much so.
I did this Seance under the Trocadero in London, which is kind of like an arcade thing in like near Leicester Square Piccadilly Circus. Mm. Like a load of arcade machines, bowling and stuff. They've like shut it down and refurbed it since then. And it was after The Conjuring, the movie, the first one. We went down on the Trocadero to do a seance. And we got to do like table wrapping. We did Ouija boards and stuff.
Kind of make some noises.
And they both had very thick... They were called like something like Terry and Linda, but they were from Birmingham. So they had very thick, Brummy accents.
They're not the Enfield House haunting people, are they?
No, but that's what they were like, trying
to be. The standard thing.
And I was with them and we were doing a Ouija board. I've never done a Ouija board before. And they were like, oh, I've got a spirit here. She's a child from the 19th century.
Oh, wow. That's so long ago.
What would you like to ask her? And my hand was on the little cursor on the Ouija board.
I believe it's called the planchette.
Is it called the planchette? Mm. And it was the theory behind Ouija board and that. It's like autonomic responses. I mean, it's like suggestion, like you can guide it and stuff. And my hands were well on the planchette. Mm. So I was moving that wherever I wanted, okay? And she was like, oh, what would you like to ask me? And I just went, I want to go home. And I was like, what's death like? And because I was on it, I just went, N-I-C-E. So this first time I had to go, nice. And I was like, brilliant.
Wow.
I'm off home. Anyway, so apparently Diana's going to be there.
Obviously.
I'm going to take that with a hefty, unhealthy pinch of salt.
Have you heard previously that Will said he could feel her presence at his wedding? But I don't think he meant it in the spooky ghost
just
way. I think
nice
he just meant
way.
In like, he said what people want to hear, which is, I felt like my mum was at my wedding. Yeah, like, so, why wouldn't you?
Like, I think I'm just like, not spiritual at all. But like, when my parents died, and like, I still understand the way that you can say that in a very reasonable way as well.
Hmm.
Like, oh, he's with me and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
Like, I've said that in times of my life in a very non-spiritual way at all. Hmm. It's like, oh, he's with me.
Yeah.
Because in a very literal sense, they're half of your DNA.
Yeah, and like, just, you feel like...
It's a nice thing to say.
They'd be proud and, like, you feel them in the sense that you're, you know, they're part of
you,
like you say, yeah.
Oh, on that actually refreshingly upbeat note, we're going to go to some ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We were introduced actually by a mutual friend.
Okay, we're going to go into feedback. Oh, no, we're not going into feedback because you've got something special, haven't you?
Well,
or is that the very
it
end?
It is feedback. And it's also on the topic of families because we're talking family planning. We're talking prophylactics.
God damn
so
right
last
we
week,
are.
We talked about the novelty condoms, heirloom condoms.
Heirloom quality prophylactics.
Oh, no.
Crown jewels.
These are crown jewels condoms. Now, we talked about them last week, and we've ordered some. They're on their way, apparently. But you, at the end, when you were going through their literature, their online literature about the condom...
Well, I was looking at the actual box.
You pointed out that they weren't a certified condom?
It says they are a novelty item and not to be used for contraception.
Now...
Which we took umbrage with.
Well, I never thought this would happen with this podcast, but we've become embroiled in a legal situation.
Quite genuinely, listener, all I know about this is that Hugh Pomfret, who we referred to several times and who I literally asked for work, hasn't got in touch. Hugh, get in touch. Mentioned on Twitter, he said, we had a lovely chat about Crown Jewels condoms. Hashtag our prince will come. Or your prince will come. And then he said, but our lawyers are drafting up a statement.
Yep.
So, I've been worried for a week.
Mate, I
about
got the email.
I got
the, this is my personal email he's sending this to.
What?
It's because I bought the condoms.
But that's Hugh.
I don't know if you're allowed to use my email like that. Anyway, Hugh said, this is some serious shit.
I'm genuinely worried. You're not allowed to do this. I'm so excited.
I actually shit myself when I read this. Dear Mr. Krupa, I've been advised by our lawyers to prepare a statement. Like, all that I get going to this email address Amazon receipts and my contact lenses.
What's the subject?
Regarding the reliability of Crown Jewels condoms.
Okay, that's...
I have been advised by our lawyers to prepare a statement vis-a-vis. Legal language. Shit. The outrageous accusations regarding the reliability of our products.
Oh, whoa. No accusations. I read out what you said on your packaging.
I'm just reading what Hugh said.
Yeah. I'm just responding now.
I am attaching this here. May I take this opportunity to assure yourself and Mrs. Scrabbles that Crown Jewels pays the closest attention to the safety and luxury of its product.
I've got a very specific question. Now, he says he pays extremely close attention. Has he spelt my name correctly?
Yep.
I believe him.
I trust this will set your minds at rest. If I can be any further assistance, please don't hesitate to get in touch. Regards, etc. Hugh Pomfret, founder, Crown Jewels Heritage.
I didn't realise he was the founder. I thought he was just the PR guy.
Now,
I didn't realise we were talking to the big
you
cheese.
You have the voice of luxury condoms down. I thought I'd give you the statement to read.
I would like to apologise.
This was issued in London on March 22nd, 2018.
I'd like to apologise before I start this for referring to someone who works in the area of condoms as the big cheese. Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. I've never read this before. London, March 22nd, 2018. Are royal wedding condoms suitable for penetrative sex? Recent... Sorry, I've just read the first line. Recent reports by The Sun and the humorous royal wedding podcast The Windsor Knot have cast doubt on the efficacy of Crown Jewel's royal wedding condoms. Statements like, they don't work, have given a misleading impression that there are shortcomings in our prophylactic sheaths.
Shortcomings. He knows.
Oh, you absolute genius. Crown Jewels categorically denies these reports and assures valued customers that its luxurious, artisan-style prophylactics are not only an effective barrier against gonorrhea, chlamydia, and a panoply of other sexually transmitted diseases, but offer 98% effectiveness in the prevention of unintended insemination. The confusion has arisen due to an on-packet disclaimer describing Crown Jewels as a novelty product, not intended for use as a contraceptive. Sadly, this does not do justice to the luxurious sheaths held within, which not only bear a CE mark, but have been rigorously tested and judged sumptuous. Sumptuous. Hugh Pomfret, spokesman for Crown Jewels, said, this disclaimer was required due to the use of an audio device within the box. Without it, health and safety fanatics within the Department for Health would have imposed legal sanction upon us. Our condoms work. We just can't tell people they work. It's political correctness gone mad. You've lost me a bit with the end, because that's what something maniac people say, but we'll go with it. Customers who wish to find out more are invited to read Regulation EU 2017/745 of the European Parliament and of the Council of 5th of April 2017 on Medical Devices, amending Directive 2001/83/EC, Regulation EC number 178/2002 and Regulation EC number 1223/2009, and repealing Council Directives 90/385/EEC and 90/342/EEC. Ends. I'm just seeing if the small print has anything interesting. No, that's all the normal stuff. Well, Hugh, thank you so much for getting in touch. I loved reading that, apart from the political correctness gone bad bit. But I do understand slightly more the idea that, I guess, the Department for Health don't believe that people would understand that your box itself that plays a tune isn't a condom?
I do love the phrase shortcomings in the
comic. Oh, mate. He's, like, honestly, the idea of
it's for the ages.
A condom being rigorously tested and judged sumptuous. That is, to quote John Oliver, linguistic dynamite. That is unbelievable.
Okay, I feel like that might be a thing that develops in the next few episodes, perhaps, as we get deeper embroiled in legalities.
As we really try on some sheaths.
American crime story. That's what it is.
Now we've got feedback from people who don't want to, I guess, maybe sue us. But let's
or
go
sell novelty condoms.
Either or. Apparently they're one and the same these days. Did you want to begin?
No, you go for it.
Okay,
I've got a nice little one, but I can do that with my next one.
This is a big old story, and I'm looking at it very briefly, and I think it sounds wicked. This is from Catherine Moore. It's called The Ghosts of Windsor Gate House. You sent me the other day a lovely little WhatsApp video saying movies should start like this more often.
Oh, it's like old credits.
It was from The House That Dripped Blood.
Yes, an old Amicus movie.
And it was just like the titles just fly into the screen to a discordant track.
Yeah.
And that's how I imagined The Ghosts of Windsor Gate House to appear. To the noble persons of... I'm just doing the fucking voice. I'm going to stop. To the noble persons of Liege Lord Joe Screbbles and Crown Prince Dan Krupa.
Hello.
Daniel Krupa, please. First of all, just wanted to say that even as a Republican, not the scary American kind, I love the podcast and I'm currently binging my way through it. Hence why this email is on something you mentioned in the second episode.
That's fine.
I love that. Despite my general distrust of royalty, my grandfather was a Knight of the Garter and lived in one of the houses just inside Windsor Castle's walls. So he'd know all about exoskeleton Usain Bolt. All right, I'm going to read it, don't worry.
It's like interesting, we've got people who have these little
stories. Oh, I see, I thought you meant as if I wasn't paying it due attention.
No. I'm just saying in general.
I just thought you were on a go, mate.
I think Usain Bolt and an exoskeleton is also very interesting.
He's wicked. And on several occasions, I would go with my family to visit him. Whenever we stayed, we were put up in what I think was called the gatehouse, the apartment that stretched over one of the entrances to the castle. I think I know exactly what they're talking about, because you can see them from the high street.
I've seen a lot of pictures, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. It's not a blah, blah, blah. I'm not skipping anything. It's just that I was reading the same bit again. I apologize. As well as being incredibly old, there was
That's so polite of you.
I didn't want anyone to think I was doing that. As well as being incredibly old, there was a spot on... there's a spot on the window where Anne Boleyn supposedly scratched her initials before she was executed. But mostly, the apartment wasn't particularly remarkable. Except for one room. The library. You have to bear in mind that I was only about 7 when I first stayed here, but I went back several times up until the age of about 15, and I never stayed in this room longer than I had to. This is wicked. I'm spooked myself. It may have been the fact that it had no windows, and that the only light source was one very weak bulb, but this little room was always creepy. I call it a library, but it was the size of a large closet, with shelves of books on military history. It also seemed to always be colder in there than anywhere else, which was odd, because it didn't face the outside. It may have been my overactive imagination, but there was often a faint whispering sound when you were in there. It could have been the wind, but it didn't face the outside. There was also some sort of rumour that there was a ghost in the tower, and that may have fed my overactive imagination, but one night I got up to get a drink, and on my way back I passed the corridor leading to this room. I thought I could hear something being said on the other side of the door, but thought it must have been my parents talking in there. Because I was an idiot child who hadn't watched enough horror films, I went down the corridor and opened the door. The room was empty. But the light was on and the voices stopped. In hindsight, maybe they were talking in the room next to it, but it scared me enough to make me run back to bed. I also remember an instance of being there when I was older, and wake up in the morning to find that my book had been moved from my bedside table to one of the shelves in the room. Though admittedly that may have been my brother trying to freak me out. He seemed genuinely surprised, and I think he probably would have laughed at me more. Anyway, sorry that this email ended up being so long. Pass on to the Queen of Suits that she should bring a book offering should bring a book offering to library ghosts to appease them. Up the proles, High Commissar Catherine.
What a brilliant email.
That's an amazing email. I tried to make it as ghostly as possible.
I thought you read that in a brilliant way.
I was happy with that.
It was like Christopher Lee.
Except not as cool, and I haven't killed many Nazis.
Christopher Lee is amazing.
He killed Nazis.
You know, if you ever read into like Christopher Lee's like achievements, he's ridiculous.
He's insane. I'm.
Like, he was in the SAS.
He was
an absolute polymath.
He wasn't in the SAS. He was in He was in what became MI5. So he was a spy before spies. And have you heard the thing about him on the set of Lord of the Rings? This is one of the best Hollywood stories of all time, right? I don't like Lord of the Rings
someone
at all.
I would have loved to have met.
Oh my god!
But also been terrified of him.
He's a terrifying man.
He's
well, you love Hammer
and Frankenstein,
but he
and the Mummy.
I think it was Peter Jackson himself who told this story. Look it up. I'll get it wrong, but I promise you this is as close as possible to what the truth is from my memory right now. Christopher Lee was on the set of Lord of the Rings and was on the set when Peter Jackson was directing someone who, I don't like the Lord of the Rings films, I think they're bollocks, but there's a bit where someone gets their throat slit in one of them.
Yeah, sure.
Don't know which one.
Sure.
And Peter Jackson was directing someone as to the noise they should make when they've had their throat slit. Christopher Lee apparently walks up and goes, "That's not what it sounds like." And just walks away again.
Fucking hell.
And you're like, fucking hell, Christopher Lee killed Nazis by slitting their throats. What a wicked dude.
Arnie's Dracula. The reason I said that is a really good, I think they made it for the BBC. There's a really good TV show where it's him being M.R. James reading his ghost stories at Christmas. Because M.R. James was a professor at Cambridge, and when he first wrote his ghost stories, he used to recite them, well, just read them out to his students.
Mm.
And the BBC film Christopher Lee just reading the stories, and it doesn't cut away to a dramatisation. It's Christopher Lee reading them for 20, 30 minutes.
Fucking hell.
And it's like Christopher Lee is so magnetic.
Uncut?
Uncut.
Is there any fluffs?
Because, no.
Doesn't fluff it?
Hey, it's Christopher Lee. He not fluffing.
Fair play to him.
I'm going to do two emails, because the first one's quite short. The first one's from Christopher Crowe, the Duke of Crowe.
Oh, we've had him before.
We've had him before.
I love him.
And also, I recognise Chris's name, and that's why I think he's written to lots of shows that we do outside of the Windsor Knot. That's why I feel comfortable razzing him. he sent us this in. The subject title is Lifetime Movie, Harry and Meghan. I'm sure you fellas, g'day, because he's from Australia. I'm sure you fellas have heard about this. But there is a sexy Lifetime movie coming out about the royal couple.
We have
heard about this. And I think, I'm not sure when it's out, but I think we might watch it one week.
Maybe we just need to do a TV special where we watch that. We watch the final episode of Suits.
I think we should do that.
Anyway. I want to get your suit. Can I wear the suit now?
Oh, give us the suit. Oh, it's a dress.
Oh, it's made by DARPA. DARPA.
We're like eating ourselves now. Yeah, I think we'll probably try and watch that before the end of the run.
Definitely.
But he says, check out this new trailer. And he puts a YouTube link. But because I think Chris follows us for something else, you click on the link. It's 60 minutes of God of War footage.
Well, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
I hope the royal wedding's like that.
Well done, mate.
Cheers, Chris.
God of War to the people not in the know. This time, God of War, well, it would be 4, I guess.
No,
it's
five,
just called God
five?
Of War. God of War 5 is about a man living in Norse myth time and killing zombies and snakes.
Check it out.
With an axe.
The next email is from Laura, who works at AV Club, who gave the podcast a very nice write-up this week.
Laura's my favourite now.
That's not why she's got special privileges of getting her email read out. It's just a very good email.
She's reading loads of emails.
So this is, she's forwarded me, I think, an email that she got as kind of like a PR email, because it kind of looks similar to some of the stuff that we get.
Okay.
I think it's on behalf, in America of a PR agency that's repping Tetley's tea.
What?
So they've sent her like an itinerary of like the perfect royal wedding viewing party. And one of the things you can do is have Tetley's tea as part of it. So it's like things you can eat and things you can do. Basically, it's a menu themed around things that both Meghan and Harry like.
Right.
So it's like, oh, on the day of the royal wedding, you can have Meghan's favourite breakfast foods and Prince Harry's childhood traditions. So it's like on the day of the royal wedding, you can have Meghan's go-to acai bowl. Includes bananas, berries, almond milk, cornflakes, manuka. It sounds minging.
Isn't acai one of those berries that you get sold at the bottom of websites?
Well, like the last thing in this recipe is bee pollen.
Honey.
Well, no.
Oh, no, pollen. Slacker dust.
It sounds minging. Anyway.
You're criticising your would-be human wife's... human wife. I meant future
She's
wife.
She's lovely.
I don't mean, just
because I'm married to her. I don't have to eat the same shit as her.
But you're going
to
have a go at her acai bowls.
Anyway, so there's this full menu of things you can have to accompany the day of the royal wedding.
Yeah.
But there's one specific point that Laura zeroed in on that she wants to feedback on. So the thing that Harry kind of offers to this menu is just dash bacon.
Well, that sounds very Harry.
Prince Harry fancies crispy bacon.
Oh, no way.
Which he first tasted in Disney World as a kid. Be sure to finish yours in the microwave for that extra crunch.
Now, to
go back to Laura's email, she excerpts what I just read, and then she says, this has proved quite contentious around the office. So we're now planning a bacon throwdown or something. So I'm not. I assume she means... I don't know if she means, like, finishing it in the microwave for extra crunch. I assume she means British bacon versus US bacon.
Well, so this is the thing. For a start... What bacon is a critically different thing in US and UK. Because we're, back bacon, and they're streaky bacon.
Yeah. Well, and we have streaky bacon here.
We do.
But we don't cook it like them.
No. So I love a chew. I'm a chewy bacon guy.
So Joe and I, far prior to this conversation, have already discussed this as friends.
Yeah.
You and I actually like really kind of wet, chewy.
Almost underdone.
Yeah.
I like it to feel like I'm still... eating an animal in some way. Dangerously.
Yeah. Like, so I think this is what Laura's asking. I hope so, anyway. I hope it's not the microwave point. Is the difference between... So a lot of American... If you go to an American restaurant... I've been to America several times on holiday. If you go to breakfast or out to a diner for breakfast, you get bacon. You're getting the very crispy bacon.
It's getting stuck under your gums like crisps. It's a
problem
for me.
The closest that you would get to carnivore bacon is like something like Canadian ham, maybe.
Yeah, you get Canadian bacon occasionally.
But that's a bit more what we have. In Britain, you're getting big old rashers of back bacon.
Quite thick, often chewy.
Yeah, soft.
They're like a very thin pork chop, but salty.
Yes, that's a perfect description of them. And obviously, it's what you're accustomed to. And I like going to America. Don't get me wrong. I like having a bit of crispy bacon. It's not.
It's not, because it gets stuck. Right, if I'm eating bacon in America, it's going with pancakes. Now, on the flip side, American pancakes absolutely shit on British pancakes. Those weird little crepe things that people like over it.
We basically have a weird British emulation of a French crepe.
Horrible business.
It's like an embarrassed crepe.
I don't claim much about my very brief upbringing in Canada, but I will stick to my guns that the two things I brought with me that I love... are fake cheese, as in
bad natural cheese. I like crap cheese.
And like Kraft, and like Kraft dinner cheese.
It absolutely has its place, yeah.
Oh, Kraft dinner's the greatest thing in the world. And big, thick, doughy pancakes. Those are the two things that I think I cannot ever... Oh, and the other one is blackcurrant tastes like shit. What is wrong with the UK liking blackcurrant-flavoured things? Awful business. Right, blackcurrant's awful.
What the fuck
is that? Ribena. Why is everyone on about? But... So... Big thick pancakes, when you have crispy bacon on them, all the shards get stuck in it like glass. It's horrible. That was my point, is I don't understand the concept.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he liked it. Like, you know what? In my salad days, when I was younger, I went to Disney World, and sure, I thought crispy bacon was all that.
Yeah.
But now...
I grew up.
As I bet, I put away childish things like crispy bacon. And it's not as good as a big wet piece of bacon.
100% not.
Also, you know, like sometimes British bacon, like when you get super cheap bacon from like Peter's, when you get like a bacon sandwich, which is very British, like British breakfast and
greasy spoon
and a good hangover cure. It's when you get the bacon, there's that weird scum that accumulates on it.
Mate, I know it's not appeasing. I love the scum. It's nice. I love that scum. It's like salt fat.
So thank you for your email, Laura. It's led us to reveal ourselves as quite gross people.
Big fat scum bacon, thank boys. This is from Adrian, and it says, wedding cake lost, which sounds worrying. Hello. Loving your podcast. It's wonderfully entertaining and informative. I do, however, have to disagree with your statement in the episode updates.
What?
That no one looks forward to a wedding cake. Now, I actually listened back to that episode, and you know what? I think I was quite rash saying that no one looks forward to a wedding cake. What I meant was no one looks forward to wedding cake, as in fruit cake. But I put it badly. We'll carry on. Adrian's got a point to make. I'm not going to ruin it. My wife and I tested wedding cakes aplenty before settling on a lovely, rich lemon cake made with lemons. Good. Oh, wait. He carries on. It's just that the line changed. Lemons, cream cheese, and what I can only assume was buckets of sugar and or joy. The testing sample was only a small slice, so on the big day, I looked forward to getting myself a great slab of the cake. That's your total prerogative. Go for it, mate.
It's your cake.
However,
you spent hundreds of pounds on it.
Exactly. However, as the cakes were being served, I was called away from the table to look for my elderly uncle. He'd recently had a stroke, so people were naturally concerned. They needn't have been, as I quickly found him downstairs in the public area of our wedding venue, sharing drinks with a football team having an end-of-season party. Your uncle sounds rad. Reassured of my uncle's well-being, I returned to the wedding reception to devour my cake. Only the cake was gone! To this day, I don't know what happened to it. No one, not even my beloved wife, was able to tell me where it went. It remains a sore point in our relationship. Adrian. That was quite sad in the end. Adrian, you know what? You should just make a huge cream cheese lemon cake for yourself.
Absolutely.
And eat the whole thing. Like, that's surely where you're at this point. Or buy one. Order one as an anniversary present to yourself. That'd be lovely.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Well done, Adrian.
Oh, man.
For the future.
I actually really like fruitcake.
How have we got this far into this, me cutting off fruitcake and saying I hate it, for you to say that?
I still mind it.
Oh, it's bad.
Do you like Christmas pudding?
No, awful.
I know that's essentially fruitcake, but sometimes people make an exception.
It's hot.
It's like sprouts, isn't it? It's the one time you hear people go, I'll give it a pass.
I only like sprouts when they're fried with bacon, so they taste of bacon. Big, fat, wet bacon.
The chorizo.
The good... Oh, mate. Sprouts with chorizo. Are you doing that?
I do that. I don't know where this is going. Do that. Finely chopped sprouts.
Yeah. So oh, you, I like a fr-
you,
yeah,
you
so
put
they
the
really,
chorizo in.
They really
so you get
fry.
The fat from the chorizo. Put the sprouts in. Wilt them down. A couple of eggs. Put that on the grill. Frittata.
Yeah. Oh, mate. You might have just sold sprouts to me.
I'm not going to lie to you, Joe. I had another email, and then I was passing over my... I hadn't read it prior to the show. And I, like, when I was reading it just then, when you were reading yours out, I realised there's a bit in it that was quite offensive, so I've ditched it.
Okay.
So...
well, thanks to whoever that was.
So that's this week's show.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
But if you want to email us, you can contact us anytime at show@windsornotpod.com, or you can follow us at Twitter at windsornotpod.
And I've put that on my phone, and I'm actually responding to things properly now quite a lot.
We're very good at engaging.
Honestly, it's not because we were... Well, no, it's mostly because we were terrible and we didn't check. But I didn't know what the password was for ages. We couldn't work it out.
No. And don't think about it too much, because you could figure it out.
No. Oh, I wish you hadn't said that.
We'll change it now. Also, remember, if you like the podcast, to review us on iTunes. Oh. I've actually got several messages from people saying they can't do it on the app.
Oh.
I think it is actually fucked.
I think the app's a problem. I think if you're doing it on desktop,
That's a bigger ask of people.
Of course it is, but I went on and checked, and the confusion for me was the point at which it shows the stars that the podcast has, you can't press them to give a review. So you know where it shows like 4.5 stars?
Oh, you've got to go further down.
You don't get to click those stars to try and amend that score. I think you can on like TripAdvisor and Amazon and things like that. You have to go way down to the review section and then you leave one there. I don't know about the app. I haven't checked. The Apple Podcasts app particularly is a big old piece of shit. But thank you so much for listening to us on it.
Thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.